Was this from what her dancing?
This is Gail Weisberg and Idris Wise.
She's just checking.
Interviewers, Dr. Benjamin Perlow, respondent, Monday evening, November 28, 1983. This interview is for National Council of Jewish Women. We are speaking to Dr. Perlow about himself, his wife, Anna Lauf Perlow, and his brother-in-law,
Abe Lauf.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to introduce?
The introduction is on.
All right, Dr. Perlow, this evening I would like to ask you more about your wife and her background and kind of catch up on things that we had not talked about previously. Do you remember or did you ever know her parents' names, her mother and father?
Oh, sure. My mother's name was Leah.
L-E-A. Last name?
Last name was, was Malakoff.
All right, we have that. Okay. And where were her parents from originally?
From Lithuania.
Okay. Do you know when they came over here to America?
Wait, I'd have to think back. They came just about the time of the Johnstown flood, which was in 1888.
Okay.
How do you remember that?
Well, I just know the history of the Johnstown flood, that's all.
Did they have any children when they came over to this country?
No.
Or the children were born in America?
No, my wife's mother came over here when she was just a little girl.
Oh. Mm.
And her father came over and went into business right away, but he wasn't married and he didn't have any
What children. Kind of business was he in?
He was in the wholesale grocery business.
And so therefore her parents then met in this country?
Oh, yes.
Do you know anything about how they met or anything?
Yes, I can tell you that. Her father was a very religious individual and very learned. Rabbi Ashinsky, who was the dean of Orthodox rabbis, used to ask him his opinion on things, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he was active in the synagogue.
Which one?
In the Beis Yankiv, that's the Beth Jacob on the hill. And her father was active in the synagogue. And he met a young kid in the synagogue who was about 16. And he said, he's a smart kid. And he took him into the business and made a bookkeeper out of him. And that kid became the owner of the Giant Eagles.
Which one?
The whole chain, the Giant Eagles.
No, I meant which?
Well,
what's his name is what we meant.
Joe Goldstein.
Oh, okay, that's right. All right, how did her mother meet her father?
Her mother met the father, I think, through her father. He was active in the synagogue, and my wife's father was active in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. You know, in those days, everybody
right.
was religious.
Right.
And introductions were made, and that's
what year was your wife born?
She was born.
What was her birth date?
Yeah, she was born on June the 17th. It's her birthday, 1899.
And do you know where she was born?
Oh, yes, in Pittsburgh.
In a hospital or at home?
I think at home. Everybody then was born at home.
How many sisters and brothers does she have, and what are their names?
Abe, who's in the nursing home now, and Meyer, who has died.
Do you know when he died?
Yes, he died in 75.
We know that she was a very musical person. Was there a musical background in her family?
Oh, yes. Yes. Her mother was very musical, and her grandfather was very musical.
Her grandfather on which side?
On her mother's side.
On her mother's side.
Yeah.
How do you mean they were very musical?
They had an appreciation of music.
Did they play an instrument?
No, but they both had good ears for music.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and her brother both had perfect pitch, which is unusual.
Abe.
Yeah. And my wife.
Uh-huh.
Perfect pitch.
And did they study music in their family as children?
Abe never took any lessons, except that my wife used to teach him occasionally, but he was just a natural.
Where did she learn?
She took lessons. She took lessons.
Do you remember how old she was, or did you have any idea when she started?
Yeah, she started very, very young.
5 years old?
I'd say roughly about that. And she studied with a Professor Gittings, Gittings.
From where?
In Pittsburgh. He had a place on Ellsworth Avenue. And she told me they put her on the streetcar and they tell the conductor where to let her off. And that's where she got off.
Where was she coming from? Where was her home?
Her home was on the bluff. Do you know where the bluff is?
No.
Overlooking the Allegheny River. And
was this on the north side?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Here, it's now, it's the Boulevard of the Allies now.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And they lived, she lived in about the 1800 block.
I see.
Of that.
Okay. When she went to grade school, do you know where the grade school was?
Yeah, the Franklin School.
Franklin. And where was that located?
On the hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Clark Street.
Do you know if she was involved in any kind of musical endeavors in school?
From early childhood, she played in the school. And I'll tell you something else apropos of that. When she became an adult, and as long as she lived, once a semester, she used to take a group of her children from the music school up to entertain the kindergarten in the Franklin School.
Wasn't that nice?
And the reason for that was her mother was sick, and the kindergartner used to take her home on weekends and take care of her. And the story that always amused me once, she came home and told her mother that Miss Emma, that was her teacher, gave her meat out of a glass that was chipped beef. Chipped beef. She gave her meat out of a glass. And you know, she always liked chipped beef. We go into a restaurant, and if she could get chipped beef, she was happy ever since that childhood.
Funny. So this was in kindergarten, you say, her mother was not well?
Yes.
What was wrong with her mother?
I don't know. She had a long sick spell, and I think she was sick for about 3 years.
Was Anna Perlow active in anything else in grade school that you can remember? Was there a chorus or anything that she sang in?
Just in music. You asked me if she was... When she went to Pitt,
yeah.
She directed the girls' glee clubs. The explanation of that was it was during the war. She was at Pitt from 1916 to 1920.
Uh-huh.
And so many men went into the army.
Right.
That the secretary asked her if she would conduct the glee clubs at Pitt.
I see. What about at high school? Where did she go to high school?
She went to Fifth Avenue High School.
Fifth Avenue. Was she a good student?
Yes. Yeah, she was a good student. And her music teacher is still living. He's over 90 now.
What's his name?
Oscar Demler.
Oh, sure.
Oscar.
We've talked about him previously.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I run into him occasionally, and he's been active in musical circles, mm-hmm. and we see him a good bit.
Where did he teach? In high school?
Fifth Avenue High School.
I see.
Was religion an important part of your wife's growing up?
Oh, yes. You know, Oscar Demler came from Ben Avon. He came from a wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was in the restaurant supply business. And interestingly enough, one of the fellows that he grew up with, and they organized a printing company when they were kids, and then that fellow wanted to get paid out. So Oscar Demler and his brother paid him out, and he went to Hollywood, and he ended up in the movies. He became a very leading man, to Myrna Loy.
Oh, my.
You know, what was his name? He played in The Thin Man, and...
Oh, I know you mean, with the big eyes. Peter Lorre? No, Peter Lawford's the only one.
No, his name will come to me in a minute.
Were showing us pictures, to get back to your wife, of your when she was young. And one of them is in a dancing costume. Can you explain a little bit about that to us?
No, except the only thing I know is that at a very early age, she used to take part in dance recitals.
What? You said Dalcroze Eurythmics?
Yeah, the Dalcroze School of Eurythmics in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. But she studied in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yes, yeah. Her mother wouldn't let her leave the city.
And they're beautiful pictures. So evidently she was very talented with dancing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very active.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and then you mentioned when she
then
was...
Then she married a guy who can't dance at all.
You also mentioned that she was involved with Emma Kaufman Farm. How old was she then?
Well, she just got out of Pitt in 1920, and in 1921 she went up to the Emma Kaufman camp as the head counselor. And you know,
For how many years was she head counselor, did you tell
20,
us?
20 years. And I'll have to explain something to you. She always had a knack of attracting people. And when she went up there, if she would call some of her sorority sisters and tell them that she wanted them to come
Which
up...
Which sorority?
The AFI.
That
she wanted them to come up there as volunteers for 2-week trips. She always had 28 counselors. She never had any trouble getting any counselors because...
she had good sorority sisters.
Hmm?
She had good sorority sisters.
Yeah, good sorority sisters. And of course, they were attracted to her. My wife was the kind of a person, if she'd walk into a room and everybody was sitting there and they were strangers to each other, in no time at all, she'd introduce them to one another, and I'll show you something.
What is that? It looks like a little doe.
Yeah.
Oh, a deer made out of doe.
Out of ivory. What is it made out of?
Maybe
your
it is
guess
ivory.
Is as good as
oh,
anybody.
Oh, I thought it was ivory.
No, it's much harder than ivory.
But it is a stone. That's beautiful. It's
Did
a
somebody
carving.
Make this for her up at camp?
No. I'll give you the history of that.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. This is really a work of art. And I have a cousin in New York who always wanted me to take it up to New York and take it into the Metropolitan Museum and have them appraise it.
Uh-huh.
And I never wanted to take it because of the history of this thing. I used to take my shirts to a Chinese laundryman. And true to fashion, she picked up two Chinese words, halaman and hohan. You know, with a nasal, halaman,
uh-huh.
which means hello, and hohan, goodbye. And every time I went there, she wanted to go along. so she could practice her Chinese vocabulary. And, you know, she was like a kid that way.
You're speaking about your wife?
Yeah.
All right.
So every time we came in there, she'd say, "Hello, Mon." His face would light up, you know. It was like old home week. And then when we left, she'd say, "Ho, Han," and his face would light up again. When he moved from there, I didn't know he was moving because Homewood was becoming bad, and he moved out of there. He says, "Wait, I give you something." And he ran back, and he came out with this. And he gave it to her.
Maybe it is ivory then.
No, it's no. Harder. It's harder than ivory.
Oh, okay.
It's much harder than ivory. And as many people that have looked at it, they can't figure out what the substance is. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard. Mm-hmm. And so she says to him, "I can't take this from you." He says, "You give good home." So she took it, and it was filthy. It took us about 3 hours to clean it up. And she said to him, "Where did you get this?" And he laughed. He says, "I am the American Army. When the American Army go to Germany, everybody take things. I take from library in Munich."
Oh.
That's where he took this from.
Oh,
a library in Munich. And this, no doubt, is a piece of art that they miss. And I don't want to take it to the Metropolitan Museum because
they might want to keep it.
Yeah, it might be listed among the missing things, and I'm not interested in retaining it.
Did your wife study music when she was at Pitt? Was that her major?
It was her major, but she didn't study music. She studied teaching music.
Mm. Music education.
Yeah. And the fellow in charge of music at the Board of Education took quite an interest in her. He wanted her to go to the Dalcroze School of Eurythmics. And she wouldn't go. When she graduated, he got her a job up at Slippery Rock. And her mother wouldn't let her.
Hmm? At the State Teachers College in
Slippery Rock. Her mother wouldn't let her go out of town. So she didn't go.
What is that called? The Dalcroze School?
Dalcroze. Dalcroize. Before we get to Abe. All right, we've been talking about...
When she was the head counselor
for 20 years.
What did you do while she was up at camp? And where was the camp located?
In Harmony. Harmony, PA. And the camp was later sold to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved it out to West Virginia.
Right. That was a good question. What did you do when she was at camp as head counselor?
I practiced dentistry.
Did you visit her?
Huh?
Did you go up on weekends or anything?
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking about the nursing home, and we've never mentioned which one it is.
They changed the name of it. I'll give you the exact name in a minute.
Okay. It isn't Ivy, is it?
No.
And you mentioned that Abe Lauf was across the hall from her in the same nursing home?
Yes, same nursing home.
What is his problem?
The name has been changed. It's now the Forbes Center for Gerontology.
What was it before? Oh, the Skilled Nursing Center,
yeah,
Pittsburgh Skilled Nursing Home.
That's the old Pittsburgh Hospital.
Right.
Yeah. And also, part of this, although they only have 8 patients in there, they have the hospice
mm-hmm.
in there. But they only have 8 patients. And I want to tell you, someday if you have time, drive down there, go into the hospice. It is furnished elegantly. You never saw a place furnished like that. And they take an awful lot of pains. The nurses that are in there don't wear uniforms.
They make it seem like a home.
Yeah. And I said to the nurse that was in there, this place is furnished elegantly. She says, well, we just figure that when people are on their last, they deserve the best.
Right.
And it's furnished that way. It's worth a trip just to see the hospice. As you come in, if you go to the right, you walk into the hospice. There's a sign there. But you walk into the left and you go into the nursing home. Nursing home has 6 floors.
Where are there only 8 patients? At the hospice.
And how is Abe's memory now?
How's what?
His memory.
On and off. It's now yesterday, he had a terrible day. He kept yelling and kept yelling, get me out of here, give me my clothing, all day long without a let up. And I don't know how he was today. I wasn't there today. This is very unusual. I had a lot of things to take care of in town. And one of the things I had to take care of, it's amazing, you wouldn't believe this. I got a letter from the Internal Revenue Department addressed to Abe. I handle his affairs, you know. Addressed to Abe a bill for $1,600 plus $400 in penalties. And I didn't think it was possible because we've been watching the payments, but this came from the Internal Revenue Department. So I went down this morning to the office of our attorney, and the secretary said, oh, we sent that check. I typewrote it, and you signed it right here in the office. She says, I'll have to look it up. And about 3 o'clock, she called me, and she gave me the number of the check, and I looked up the canceled checks, and I have it. It went through.
That's the wonderful computer system of our government.
Yeah.
Who is the attorney that you use? Who is your attorney?
Lieber.
Yeah.
I mentioned that before. Do you know when Abe was born, what his birth date?
Yeah, June. May the 25th. He was 78 last May, so I have to figure back.
His birthday is May 25th?
Yeah.
That's my birthday.
Yeah, Mazel tov.
He preceded you
by a few years.
A couple. When he was growing up, you said that he had a natural talent. And he did not study music.
He could sit down. He could listen to a piece and sit down and bang it out. You think he studied it all his life.
On a piano?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been so envious that you could do that.
This is a picture of Abe.
Oh, my.
And my wife playing.
He played by ear. Did they get along well as they were growing up?
Yeah, pretty well, except when she gave him lessons.
He didn't like that, huh?
That's a baby picture of my wife.
Oh, my.
Oh, is that beautiful.
And her facial features never changed.
I agree with you. She's always had the full face and the little features.
And the big eyes.
Never changed.
Beautiful.
That's true.
And this is a picture of Abe. He was always putting on dramatic shows, and this is a costume he wore on one show.
Oh, how old was he
with
here?
With the top hat?
I don't know.
Top hat
and a
tail.
Tails, that's right. White bow tie.
That's adorable. Abe's profession was what?
He was a professor of English at Pitt.
Right, and he also, from what I remember, knew a great deal and taught about musical theater at Pitt, did he not?
Oh, yeah, sure. See those books there?
Those are books that he wrote.
On the theater, yes. He's one of the experts in the country on the theater.
How did that come about?
He was always interested in the theater, and then he started to write. And he wrote these books, and I'll tell you something about that. This one book, Broadway's Greatest Musicals, on the musical comedies, he put that out, and his agent in New York didn't know anything about it, but all of a sudden he gets information from somebody in Florida that his book is being,
plagiarized?
No, I'll think of the name of the organization that's putting out a series of records on Broadway's musicals. Mm-hmm. And if you order the series with 12 records, six on both sides, I think it was $28, they give you the book on Broadway musicals free. If you order that, and it's his book, and it's sold for $14.95, and the first order to the publisher was for 25,000 copies, and shortly after that there was another order for 25,000 copies, and Time Life.
Oh wow!
Time Life.
How wonderful. What year was this?
It's about 4 years ago.
What did he study when he went to, I assume he went to the same grade school that your wife did, to Franklin? Were they still living in the same place?
No, they moved, and he went to the Forbes school, I think, because they were living on the Bluff, you know, that's
right.
The Boulevard of the Allies.
And then where did they move to?
From there, they moved to Highview Street.
Okay. So then before they lived on the Bluff, where were they living?
On Franklin Street.
On Franklin, okay. And that's why she went to Franklin School. Did he go did Abe Lauf go to Pitt also?
Yeah.
And majored in English. And then he taught at Pitt.
That's right.
Was he in the service?
Oh, yeah. He wrote the history of the Special Service School down in Lexington, Kentucky. And he was awarded the Legion of Merit. I have it here. And that's going to end up in the Hillman Library.
Why did he receive this honor?
Hmm?
For writing?
The history of the Special Service.
I see. Did he actually go to Europe and see any action?
Oh, he used to take trips into New York from Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 25 or 30 people for a weekend of theater and so on. We went on some of those trips.
This is when he was teaching at Pitt.
Yeah, and then even after that. This is Leo Ruslander.
Picture of Leo with your wife and you,
yeah.
I see. Uh-huh.
That's when they moved into the new office, the Frick Building.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good picture.
It's a wonderful picture.
And
you all look really
good.
There's
something interesting.
Oh, is that Patty Prattis?
No.
Who is that?
This is a family of black boys and girls.
That's a woman
uh-huh.
who had eight children.
Uh-huh.
Those are her children.
Uh-huh. My goodness.
Her husband either left her, you know, she had children without getting married.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a good voice. And my wife was interested and active in the Pittsburgh Concert Society.
Uh-huh.
And they used to bring in an artist from New York to judge those who were taking part. And Bill Benswanger was the president of this organization. He was interested in music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought in this fella who was a conductor of shows on Broadway, and at the dinner, my wife mentioned to him that she has a girl who has 8 children and sings beautifully, and he said he wanted to hear her. So my wife got in touch with her, and she came down, and she sang for him, and he persuaded her to go to New York, and he put her into a show.
Oh, who is she? Who is she?
Did she study at the Irene Kaufman settlement with your wife?
Yeah.
Do you remember her name?
No, I don't.
I think that we're going to flip the tape, Edgerson.
Okay.